Well, good morning, everyone. Don't know how close you pay attention to these bulletins, but I'm not preaching this morning, and I'm really excited to introduce our speaker. maybe some of us noticed we've got kind of a group of some strangers up here in the front. And so if you're relatively new to the congregation, these guys didn't wander in from downtown. They're actually from the congregation in Williston, North Dakota. And so I'm really excited to introduce Mike Ferguson to bring us the morning message of encouragement. And Mike, 7 years? Eight years. Mike and his family were members in this congregation here in Billings for a long time. And 8 years ago, moved to North Dakota and been doing the work of the Lord there. And really, really appreciate those guys. And, you know, they just... so many great things you could say about the Fergusons and Mike in particular this morning. But, you know, I just remember being a young 25-year-old single new Christian, just knowing I was dedicated to the assemblies and not really sure what Christianity was supposed to be. I came over and said, son, you need to come over to my house and study the Bible. And so Amy cooked some pretty good meals for a number of years, and Mike took me through the Word of God. And I just really appreciate about them, that they have a true love for the Lord, and because that love is true and it is for the Lord, by extension, they have a love for God's people. And so, you know, as I was thinking about Mike this morning, I was thinking of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. He encourages us not to seek our own good, but that of his neighbor. And he wraps up chapter 10 by saying, give no offense either to Jew or to Greek or to the church of God, but just as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. So you get these preachers up here, and Paul being one of them, and his exhortation is not to look out for your own interests, but the interests of your neighbor. And what the end of chapter 10 shows us is that he did as he practiced. He practiced as he preached. Okay, that he didn't look out for his own profit, but the profit of many so that they might be saved. And I guess those were the verses that I thought of this morning as I bring up Mike Ferguson, a man who practices what he preaches. Mike Ferguson.
Morning. If I stand up here for a moment and I don't say anything, that leaves you expecting, and I like to refer to that as a pregnant pause. Turn with me to Psalms 118 this morning.
Still making jokes.
Still making jokes, that's right. Man, you guys are a long ways away. I'm going to have to move around a little bit, I can tell. Psalm 118, and let's begin reading in verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Lord God, you are indeed the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the great I am. Lord, I come before you today humbly, your servant, thankful for this opportunity to address your body, your kingdom here in Billings. Lord, I'm thankful that there was a creation that you made. And in that creation, you made today. Lord, I want to impress today from your scriptures the importance of today and what we have the opportunity to do with it. Lord, I thank you for King Jesus. He is our example, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we read through the scriptures and we see the accounting, we see that he truly maximized today. Lord, I pray that we'll do the same. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You know, when we think about it, I'm going to talk about today. You saw that was the title if you looked at the bulletin. And I want to talk about that because I think it's really important that we grab on to today. And I don't mean today as of, I think it's January 23rd. I don't mean just January 23rd. I mean today. And interestingly enough, I'm going to start out today by talking about yesterday. And I don't mean yesterday like yesterday's and days gone by. I mean yesterday as in yesterday, January 22nd, if I'm correct on my calendar days. You know how it is. You get away from your phone these days and you don't know anything. What happened yesterday? And I could ask that in the general sense, and depending on what was relevant to you in your life, you'd have different answers. Some of you that may be interested in sports would maybe talk about how both number one seeds in the NFL lost yesterday. Some of you could probably care less, or couldn't care less, or whatever is the appropriate way to say that. You don't care. You know, for me, there was a really important event that happened over in Missoula, Montana, where two young people got married, Jacob and Emily Martin. And so my wife and I had the opportunity to go, and David Renner came along with us. And so we're planning our trip, which is wise to do this time of year. And so we planned out that we were going to come back to Billings. And so we called and made reservations at the Bolton Hotel. And I can't advertise for this place enough. The rates, extremely reasonable. Clean, comfortable rooms, and a really friendly staff at the Bolton Hotel. And in fact, I'm going to ask for help from one of those members of the staff. Aiden, can you help me out for a minute? He doesn't know that he's getting ready to help me. So, are you nervous? Yeah, you should be. Can you do me a favor? Can you grab that chair right by Mr. Moranzik and bring it up here? I unhooked it earlier because I didn't want to watch you struggle trying to unhook that under pressure. Go ahead and set it right about here. And let's turn that around so it faces the audience. Can you do that? Yeah, no, that's, yeah, so you, like you would sit in it. Okay? You're not going to sit in it. Okay? All right, you're just a prop for a minute. I'll get back to you in a second. Hey, you know, what I'd like everybody to do this morning is I'd like everybody to stand up. And we got to get the blood going a little bit here. And Aiden, this is actually where you come in. When you do basketball practice, do you guys ever get loose? What are some of the things you do to get loose? Run. We're not going to run. We're kind of in a building here. So look at this guy trying to take opportunity here. Do you ever like shake your arms a little bit? Okay, let's shake your arms a little bit. Okay, get a little bit loose. Maybe roll the head a little bit. Is that good? Okay, roll the head. Maybe we don't want to do like toe touches because I don't want anybody to hit the chairs in front of them or anything. But maybe, you know, just pivot the torso a little bit, kind of get that thing going a little bit. Are they loosening up a little bit? Okay, we don't want them to get too loose though because then we'll lose them. Okay, we don't want to do that. And actually, I forgot something. Can you go back to my chair and get my phone? My wife will get it for you. Okay. You guys are doing good so far. You feeling loose? A little bit, but not loose, like running out of here, okay? All right. I need you guys to do me a favor. And we're going to do two things at once here. Why don't you go ahead, and if you have a child, why don't you go ahead and pick up that child if you can. I want to see everybody. Aiden, why don't you hop up on this chair here, okay? All right. And then what we're going to do next, I can see this is going to take a little bit of work. We're going to have to do this sideways. I need you to hold this phone, and if you push that button right there, you're going to take a picture. Now, well, slow down. We need all these people to smile for us before we take the picture. So, can you guys smile at Aiden? Would it be helpful if I moved over there to smile at Aiden? Would that be better? I'll do that. All right, Aiden, whenever you're ready and everybody smile, why don't you go ahead and take some pictures? Take about four or five of them, because sometimes people don't smile even though they say they're going to. All right, got some good ones there? All right, cool. All right, you can go ahead and... Don't go anywhere, just step down. I don't want you to fall for this next part. That'd be distracting. Simon didn't say to stop smiling. Keep smiling. I want, while you're smiling, I want you to slowly turn. And I want you to look at the people in this room. And I want you to smile at them, and I want you to give them a smile, and I want you to receive their smile. Go ahead. This is interactive. This is exercise, so we got to loosen up before we exercise. Go ahead. I want you to smile. You're doing good. All right. Aiden, come here for a sec. Aiden's my bud. You guys go ahead and sit down because Aiden and I are going to sit down. Go ahead, come sit down for a second. Aiden, mm-hmm. Do you know why we took a picture?
To see if they're actually smiling.
To see if they're actually, I like this guy. He's like, I've been told to smile before, and the proof was in the pudding. No, actually, the reason we took this picture is because we just made history. You know that? No, we did. So as you look out here today, and that's why I wanted everybody to look at everybody else, this is the only time in history, the only time, that this group of people have been together in this exact quantity and who it is. The only time. And by the way, this is the only time in history that will ever happen again. And when we make history, what do? Well, we take pictures of it, right? So that's why we took pictures. Thanks, Aiden. You can take this chair back. Appreciate it. You guys can give him a hand. One time in history, this group of people gathered together in the name of Lord, in the name of the Lord, this exact group of people. One time in history, and you were just part of it. And you know when that happened? Today. Today is what we have. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm excited to talk about this. Aiden, you performed well under pressure, buddy. You did a good job. Because today is what you got. Today is tomorrow's yesterday. All you got is today. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. It says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who come out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. You know, there's interesting, and it goes on. If we were to continue reading in Hebrews chapter 4, and it's going to talk about the Sabbath rest, and you know what shows up in talking about the Sabbath rest? Today. Because all we have is today. There is no tomorrow. What do we have is today. You know, you take a look at it, you may plan to do something, but the reality is, tomorrow never comes. All you get is today. Whatever day you're in, that's today, and to make the most of it. And I want to talk a little bit about this. And notice here that there's something that the body was told to do, and that was to encourage one another, lest they be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know what the deceitfulness of sin that it's talking about here is? Not believing that God was able to perform what he had promised. There's an important picture that goes along with it. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time because I'm really focusing on today. But we got to take a time out for a second here. And we got to talk about some things. How many people spend their lives reliving yesterday? Now, let's talk about that. How about the guy that 38 years ago threw the touchdown pass to win the high school championship football game, and all he talks about is 38 years ago? Now, when I was a young guy, we would have told that guy to live in the now. I don't know what you'd say today to make that point, but man, who cares about a high school football game 38 years ago? Irrelevant. What's relevance today? How about the victim that's embraced victimhood and held on to it for the last 38 years? You know, I think about a guy. We see him, I think it's John chapter 5. That guy that's laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Is it in his infirmary? Jesus asks him, hey, do you want to be made well? And what's he say? Well, there's no one to put me in the water. 38 years. That guy laid by that pool, a victim. 38 years. He was a slave to that mentality. I'm going to tell you this. If that guy truly wanted to be made well, he would have been laying right next to the edge of that thing. And if he believed that there was healing in those waters, he would have been perched on the edge. And when the Spirit stirred up those waters, he would have rolled himself in there, not worried about whether he was going to drown or not, because he believed that God was actually going to heal him. See, the guy at the pool of Bethesda had a problem. And you know what it was? His heart was hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He didn't believe that God was actually going to be able to heal him. I appreciate what Jared talked about with the lady, man. If all I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak, I'm going to be healed. That's regarded as faith, isn't it? She was going to do whatever she had to do to get close enough, even if it was just to touch the hem of it. Because you know what she was interested in? Today. The guy at the pool of Bethesda, maybe tomorrow I'll get in that pool. Maybe tomorrow. 38 years that guy was a victim laying there. And here's what I'm going to tell you. There's a whole bunch of people in this world, and there are people that have been immersed into Christ that are still holding on to the past and being a victim and not letting go. Because I can tell you this right now, people expect very little from victims other than to be a victim. Man, it's hard to think about things in those contexts, and those things are real. But honestly, the solution to healing the past is today. Not going to the past. Think about the Israelites. This is the context in Hebrews chapter 3. And guys, don't worry. We're going to get to the encouraging part for a second. But we got to take a time out and work through some of this stuff for a minute. Those guys got brought up out of Egypt miraculously by God. They got delivered. They did nothing. They ate some food, sprinkled some blood around, and God did the rest, right? They come up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's behind them. They're penned in. What happens? God parts the waters. And something interesting happens. If you read your scriptures and you understand, those people were baptized, immersed in the Red Sea. And there was a deliverance that happened that day. See, because Egypt is slavery and death. And Pharaoh's army is the power of sin that was designed to go get them and bring them back into Egypt into death. That's what happened at the Red Sea. God utterly destroyed the power of death and sin in the Red Sea. Same for us in Christ. Those things were utterly destroyed. Those Egyptians that entered into the waters of the Red Sea, representative of that sin that was designed to bring them back to Egypt, was never seen again. They were destroyed. So what happens? Man, they continue on their walk a little bit. They bump up against the Promised Land. Man, no way can we do that. And they spend the next 40 years, and the Scripture records for us what their mindset was. They were still slaves. They never changed their picture, their understanding that they were God's delivered people. They were still slaves. Read the scripture. You can see that, man. They're out there. Well, we got water. There's no water. We're going to die. Well, there's water back in Egypt. Let's go back there. Right? How about the old chicken in every pot routine? Remember that? Man, we got no meat. There was meat in every pot in Egypt. What's really going on? Where were they? They were slaves. They were never set free because they never stopped living in the past. Those people that died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, they never left Egypt mentally. Never left Egypt. They remained a slave for the rest of their days and therefore were unfit to enter into the promised land. Not happening. Does the body need some encouragement lest they be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin? You guys are reading through Job in your public reading. I love the book of Job. You know what the book of Job is? The book of Job is demonstrating his righteousness to God, Job is, and that he is willing to obey God no matter what the cost is. And then you have 30-some chapters of his friends trying to convince him he's a sinner. That's the book of Job. Surely you did something wrong. There's no way God would allow it. You're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. Man, I'm telling you right now, do we need some encouragement for one another to not let people try to convince us that we're still in Egypt? That we're nothing but a bunch of sinners? Guys, this is the message that's super important. And these guys died in the wilderness because they were still a slave and held captive in their former manner of life. We need some encouragement. We really do. Man, guys, I'm going to tell you, there's part of this thing that it's not like, oh, you just go in and flip the switch in the mindset and you're like, woohoo, everything's ducky. Man, we need some help. Why do you think God made a church? A body? Why do you think the Israelites, when it talks about, you know what it called them? A congregation. That's what it called them. And it's tough out there. If you've ever done the math, there were 603,550 men that left Egypt. And you know how many of those 603,550 men made it into the promised land? Two. Do we need some encouragement? Man, when the scripture tells us, hey, encourage one another. Well, it is still called what? Today. When are you going to encourage your brother? Ah, Tuesday is good. What about today? Man, this is the time. This is all we have. I can tell you one thing. Man, regardless of your understanding or lack of understanding, which is probably not much different than mine, of what's happened in the last 2 years in the world, here's one thing I can tell you. There are people dying. And that's no different than any other time in history. People die. And you don't know if today is your last opportunity with that individual. You don't know. How about your brother and sister in Christ? Here's what I can tell you. There's been so many times I'll get a text or a phone call that couldn't happen at a better time. By somebody just reached out and said, hey man, I was thinking about you today. I'm going to guess I'm not unique in that. Man, the encouragement. There's been some times, man, you're fighting through some stuff. And somebody's like, I love you, bro. Keep going for it. Man, that's encouragement. There's other times where, man, you're sitting down there and honestly, you're knee to knee and you're going through the gritty together. Together. There's encouragement that goes along with it. Man, brothers and sisters, it is important for us to be encouraged and be encouraging. Don't let those things stop us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to encourage to make the most of today. And I thought about all different kinds of things I wanted to bring up, but I want to hit this quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ooh, okay. Verse 11. And such were some of you. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. You are no longer slaves to those things, to that former manner of life. And you know what? We get to help each other and encourage each other through that process. I can tell you there's sometimes it is hardest to see the growth in your own self. But to have somebody else point out, man, you're really doing great. Oh, okay. You know? Hey, you're fighting through some stuff. Sometimes you feel like I'm the Lone Ranger. I'm the only one that's ever fought this battle. Man, you talk to some brothers and sisters, you know what you find out? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. That's the reality of this thing. We got to take this thing on. 603,550 people had the same experiences in the wilderness. And they were a people that were slaves in their mind, and they dedicated themselves to grumbling and complaining rather than encouraging one another. Was God any different on the other side of the Red Sea? The same God. Somehow he could deliver them from Egypt out of there, but they couldn't take the promised land. You know what should have happened? That congregation should have been encouraging each other. Man, we can do this. Them 10 spies came back with a bad attitude. We can't do this. You know what they should have done? Stoned them on the spot. That's what they should have done. What happened because of those 10 spies' bad report? The true mindset of the rest of the congregation was revealed, that they didn't actually believe that God could perform what he had promised he was going to do. And that was deliver them to the land of promise, the land of milk and honey. They didn't believe. That's the deceitfulness of sin that can harden people. Is the world out there telling you that you can't take the land? Everywhere? How about inside the body of Christ? Boy, we better be looking for those opportunities to encourage one another. Because believe me, the 10 spies got their voice. And that message is heralded all the time. You are worthless. You are no good. You can't do it. That is the message that is in your face constantly. Man, we got to combat that with some encouragement and working together to do that. Encourage one another even more as the day draws near. All right, time back in. We timed out to go through that. We were talking about something else. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's work on a picture of what this looks like. Acts 4, verse 36. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to go for a nickname, go for that one. Son of encouragement. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. You know an interesting thing about Barnabas? He believed it. That he was there to encourage. Acts 9, verse 26. This is talking about Paul. And when he'd come to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to them, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. You want to know one of the guys that was super instrumental in helping Paul have impact on people in Jerusalem? Barnabas, the son of encouragement. How important is that? Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Man, we're going to bring some Gentiles in the church here in Acts 11. Verse 22, when the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Why? Because Barnabas was the son of encouragement. You take a look at the difference that the impact that Barnabas was able to have compared to those 10 spies with bad attitudes. The whole nation perished in the wilderness compared to considerable numbers being brought to the Lord. You take a look at a guy, Barnabas, that was instrumental in helping Paul get started. And again, Paul had to do his work, but he was instrumental in helping him get started. And the truth is that Paul still impacts us today with his words. The foundation, the church is laid on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Barnabas played part in that as the son of encouragement. You know, you don't know what to do in the body? Be encouraging. Be encouraging. I remember years ago, my son was little. I would tell you, my son, he's a pretty encouraging guy. He likes to do that. And by the way, side note again, time out. We'll time back in a second. You can pray for him. He works in the medical field as a CNA, and he's working on getting his nursing license, or trying to. And the current climate of the world, he's probably going to lose his job next week. So you can pray for him. And pray for others in like situations as they go through that. But I remember one time years ago, and I don't remember the context. Nikki Mranzik was doing something, and my son was like, "Good job, Nikki." I don't know what it was. And it was probably something that didn't impact or change the world in any way. But Luke's first thought was to encourage Nikki in what she was doing. Now, Nikki probably didn't need a lot of encouragement in doing that. I don't remember what it was. I think it was somewhat menial. But regardless, that was his first thought. And I can tell you this right now. My children love Nikki and John Mranzik. And Nikki and John love my kids. And part of that has to do with the fact that my son's first thought was to be an encourager on some things. I'm not trying to hold him up as an example other than following the example of Barnabas. You don't know what to do? Be encouraging. Could you imagine if just a portion of the congregation had got behind those two spies that believed the good report? And believed the good report. What kind of impact could have happened? Instead of an entire nation, minus two, dying in the wilderness. You don't know the impact that you can have. Here's what I can tell you. If you don't encourage, you will not have that impact. Maybe it falls on deaf ears. But man, you got to try. Encourage one another. When? Well, it's still called today. Because that is all we have is today. Never again will this group of people be in this place exactly as it is today. Never again. Sorry, Aiden, you and I weren't in the picture. We'll just have to know we were there. But everybody else, you're in the picture. Never again. Today is the only day in the history of the world that has ever happened. And do you realize that happening today, that every single day is a day that's unique in history? Every day is today. And the opportunity to make the impact is today. Right now. Today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hit a couple here pretty quick. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." You know, there's a difference between reading something and regurgitating it, and believing it. God physically moved those Israelites out of Egypt, but they still remained slaves in Egypt. Their physical proximity changed, but who they were didn't. They were still slaves. this scripture right here, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things are come. I can tell you this, that if you continually look back to Egypt, you'll end up there. You will. Man, we need some encouragement as we go through this. Hey, you're a new creature. Such were some of you. You've been washed, sanctified, justified in Jesus. Man, that is an important picture, and we need encouragement because, trust me, all Satan has to do is provide a little doubt and discouragement and get you to think about being in Egypt, and you'll end up there. Man, we got to encourage each other and take that opportunity while it is still called today and believe that God is actually able to perform what He's promised. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Actually, let's go to Ephesians 4 first. You know that you'll never have victory over the past by living in it? You'll never have victory over the past if you continue to live in the past. Never will. Why do you think God works so hard to put that old man to death to raise up a new man? So that we didn't have to live in the past no more. We didn't have to think about being slaves in Egypt. We could look forward as citizens, free men in Christ and in this kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what Jesus says, right? Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But if you're not free, if you think of yourself as a slave, guess what's going to happen? You're going to behave like slaves behave. And you're going to do what slaves do. And you're going to actually yearn for that slavery because it's familiar. That's the psychology. That's how that works. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. And I don't have time, but you take a look at it. It's actually all the bad stuff. You didn't learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. That is in reference to your former manner of life. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. And you can keep on reading. Then, and I'll just skip down to verse 32. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here's what I can tell you. You want to be encouraging to somebody? Start out by being kind. That's an excellent place to begin. Be kind. How about tender-hearted? I think something happens, and I'm not a female, so I can't speak to that gender, but I am male, and I can speak a little bit to that gender. And my observations and my experience have taught me this, that when you get older, you either get harder or you get softer. And here's what I can tell you. I watched someone my age give his daughter away in marriage yesterday, and I had to look away from him. I was like, man, I don't want to think about that. I'm getting soft. I'm worried, man. By the time I turn about 80 years old, I'm probably just going to be a marshmallow, man. But the reality is tender-hearted. Man, I can tell you this. You're young, on fire, stuff like that. And sometimes you got no account for anybody else and their struggles. You start going through some things, man, and you fight through some things, and you understand the importance of encouragement. And you know what happens? You're a little tender-hearted. Like, man, I feel you. Those are difficult things that you're going through. Anna, is that important? Does sometimes you need to know that, hey, somebody else cares enough about you to tell you, hey, man, that's hard, but you'll get through it. We'll help you. And you think about a younger generation today that honestly, they don't have a lot of perspective of the future. And that's why young people are killing themselves at record levels. What happens if there was some identifiers, some people that helped them, that were tender-hearted and says, that's going to be okay. What seems like really big right now, you'll get through it. It's all right. We'll help you. Some encouragement through those things. I know I'm hitting a bunch of different things there, but man, we got to think about those things. What are we supposed to do? Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. When? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak. Man, I could do something completely on that alone, but how about that? If you really believe this thing, you know what you're going to do? You're going to talk about it. You really believe you can take the land, you're going to talk about it. You really believe that you can overcome the wilderness, you can overcome the challenge, you can overcome the mindset of slavery, you'll talk about it. That's really important. I believe, therefore I spoke. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. When does that renewing happen? Day by day. And you know what the only day you really got is? Today. That renewing. Day by day. Pretty important stuff. Let's go to Lamentation chapter 3. That's kind of wedged in there between Jeremiah and Ezekiel if you have trouble finding it. I do sometimes. I wrote that on my notes for me so I could get there without having to quote through the books of the Old Testament while you guys endure a pregnant pause. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. For the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, and his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The loving kindness and compassions of the Lord never fail. And you know what they are? They're new every morning. You know when they're new? Today. That's when they're new. So if you start thinking about if we're a new creature today, and if the loving kindness and compassion of the Lord are new today, and we understand that all we got is today, we should really easily be able to engage in the encouraging of one another today while it's still called today. We have been made new in Christ Jesus, and we have a purpose that comes along with it. And one of those purposes is the encouraging of the brethren, because we are renewed in our mind day by day, and God is new every day. His loving kindness and mercies are new every day so that we can carry forth that message to one another and help each other out. When? Today. Today is the day that that's accomplished. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. There's another piece to this. You can develop it on your own a little bit later. Luke 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Skip down to verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to encourage one another, even more as the day draws near. Today. This is the day we've got. Let's close up in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to bring forth a principle that's really important. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Well, let's start in verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Today is the day. It is very difficult to be encouraging to someone without being in proximity to them. It's difficult. I can tell you this, God put some things forth in his kingdom, his church, so that they could be together, so that they could encourage one another, lest anyone be hardened against the deceitfulness of sin. That encouragement that is there. You know, there's some of you I know in this room, and I've known you for a long time. There's some of you I've never met before. You know what's interesting? Those of you that I haven't met, and I could point a few out. There's a couple people over here. Haven't met you. The red shirt there on the end, four rows back. What's your name?
Drew.
Drew? I'm Mike. Nice to meet you, Drew. His presence here today, just his presence alone is encouraging to me. It is. You know why? Because last time I was here, I don't think you were here, were you? You ever seen me before? You have? Oh, well, see? Hopefully I encouraged you. You encouraged me. Thanks, you know? Got a little correction there too. Sometimes you need that reproof, right? But, you know, hey, that's important, isn't it? That presence there. There's some of you that, man, maybe I haven't seen in a long time. There's some of you I see have seen more frequently. You know, that's encouraging to me. You know, Lori Pope, you always make me feel special. You always do. Yep, always. I always get a smile. She's always surprised to see me, which is cool. Hey, that's a good surprise, right? Some people are like, oh, he's here. No, that's not the surprise I get. I appreciate it. How many others, right? Man, encouragement that goes along with it. Are you seeking the opportunity to encourage? Are you considering, when you come to the Assembly of the Saints, are you considering how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? Do you know what that's synonymous with? Encouraging one another all the more as the day draws near, as long as it's still called today. Let's go do it today for our King and His kingdom. Thanks.
Excellent message, bro. Appreciate that. You know, when we announced Jacob and Emily's wedding around here, there's a few of us that kind of had to figure out, okay, didn't we already do that? Okay. But that was Joseph and Kimberly, okay? And so the fact, you know, I too put myself in Mark's shoes as he's walking his daughter down the aisle, you know. And I'm like, boy, this is the second time he's had to do that. So I had to turn away too. But that was just to turn it over to my wife. And I said, I couldn't do that twice. So that might mean we're done it too. And I say that to the sadness of their grandmothers. But well, what a picture, right? What a great picture. Literally, how important each one of us really is. And the encouragement. Now, that line he had at the end, God has set it up in a way so that we can be in one another's presence to encourage us. Well, how did he do that? By commanding the Lord's Day. You come here on the Lord's Day to fellowship around this table and to fellowship with one another, pushing us on. Not only the thought of how important that is, but how important each one of us is. And that picture, being here matters, okay? And if you lately, if it's been hard for you to get here, you just remember how important you are. Okay? You know, maybe Drew saw you at family camp, you know, we don't know. But you know, point is, boy, you matter. And if you've been struggling with that, your presence matters. I couldn't agree more. You being here encourages me as well. So thank you so much for that picture and for that message. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, we thank you so much that we have today. Lord, when each one of us went our own way and sin entered our life and we chose our way over your way, Lord, we had separated ourselves from you, Lord God. Our sins had put a separation between us and you, and so much to the point that you didn't hear. And we are thankful that through Jesus Christ that reparations can be made, that we can be reconciled back to you. Oh, Lord God, that we can have fellowship with you, that you can know us, and that we can know your name. That we can abide in you and that you can abide in us. And it's only because of the life that we have and that we live because of Christ Jesus that we can call today, today. We are so thankful, Lord, that because we call today, today, that yesterday is gone, that we are able to press forward in faith with you, Lord. So we thank you that we have that privileged position to be with you, that you hear our prayer right now as we offer it up, that we have the opportunity to encourage others and to do these things, and that we would focus on today and not yesterday as we look forward to the coming of you, O Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.